Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Friday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Radio and Healing Through Prayer with Corrine Walton. Corrine, take it away.
Thank you, Maria. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I was talking to Maria earlier this morning, and we had noted that there wasn't as much attendance at some of last week's show due to the holiday weekend. And I wanted to encourage you, because last week's show was on a topic that really applies to all of us on some level, and it's overcoming the effects of abuse, whether that's verbal, emotional, financial, spiritual, sexual, physical. You know, I think at one point in our lives we've all been the recipient of some form, and I just felt that it had a powerful message, and I would encourage you to go back into the archives and pick that up and listen to it and see if that helps at all if and when you find the time. Today's topic, I was kind of thinking about what to talk about, and oftentimes I start picking up on symbols or a reoccurring theme that comes to me, and this subject of caterpillars and turning into butterflies and transition, regeneration, kept coming to me. So I said, okay, so this morning we'll be talking about our own personal baptism and regeneration. You know, while being a butterfly looks cool, you consider the process of getting there, and that sure doesn't. Confinement and isolation and lots of patience, not one of my personal strong suits. But even when we go through our own personal storms and whatever form they take, if you look back 5 or 10 years, you know, you're going to see that you've made progress. And I know this is true because personal progress is always assured by your Creator. We're ever moving forward and upward, even when the material picture doesn't seem to support that. There are times when I have had no human answers to a pile of problems, and yet I look back and I just see the hand and grace of God in my life unfailingly at every turn. You know, one door shuts, another opens. You step out in faith, step appears. And I say confidently that I know anybody who has trust and faith in God, that is also true for them as well. And it hasn't been easy or fun. I recall extremely dark moments when, you know, it was a picture of my daughter or just the love for my daughter that was really the only thing that seemed to pull me through. We get squeezed and tested and tried in various areas of our lives due to these beliefs that we've accepted. Maybe it was limitation, lack of money, or just fear, you know, fear that keeps us from going forward, sickness, or inharmonious relationships. Those can be very debilitating. All of these push and pull on us. But when you think back to the Bible stories, each of these dilemmas before Jesus and healed. very quickly, I might add. I mean, he met each one with complete assurance of God's love for him and everyone. Whatever form the false belief took, it was just quickly cast out. Well, I don't expect that each of us will meet the same hurdles or the same ability as Jesus, since he was the master. I do know that he came to show us how to do it for ourselves. And I do know that the solution to each and every problem is resolved by changing false beliefs with the true ideas that God gives us and not manipulating life outside of ourselves. This identifying the false beliefs and exchanging them with the truth is a purification of ourselves. And it's truly the only way to rise above a false and limiting sense of self and existence into the unlimited, abundant, and joyful life that is actually already ours. It is a daily baptism. Let's talk about that word a little bit. When one attends a baptism, it's a beautiful event. It's symbolic of somebody's decision to forever give their life over to Christ and to make a commitment to follow Jesus. It's an offering of sorts to God of your faith and religion. The dictionary is a religious sacrament marked with all of you for the water and resulting in admission of the recipient into the community of Christians. And while our intentions are true, how many of us backslide over time? But the feeling we carry with us on the day of baptism begins to wane or feel distant from us. I know there are times when I'm feeling pretty disconnected, almost like I've been forgotten, and I wonder, where is God in all of it? What happened to that feeling? But we shouldn't feel disheartened by that, because even Jesus had his moments when he felt alone or his close companion. He asked God to remove the cup of crucifixion from his experience. Valley of the shadow of death experiences. So how do we pull out of them? A long time ago, my advice was literally called my phone book and pour out my problems. Some people turn to advice, shopping, drinking, sex, the computer. But we already know from experience that these don't work, and any relief is only temporary. The only solution I have found to work consistently is to stay as close to God on a daily basis as I can, to keep my thoughts focused on Him. As I do, those moments of darkness have become fewer and further between. It makes life disgusting. If your beliefs create your actual experience, then whatever fills up the majority of your thoughts is going to dictate and create what you're experiencing in your everyday life. Mrs. Eddy encourages us in the book she wrote entitled Miscellany to keep your minds so filled with truth and love that sin, disease, and death cannot enter them. It is plain that nothing can be added to the mind already full. There is no door through which evil can enter and no space for evil to fill in a mind filled with goodness. Good thoughts are an impervious armor. Clad therewith, you are completely shielded from the attacks of error of every sort. And not only yourselves are safe, but all whom your thoughts rest upon are thereby benefited. Well, it makes sense. It sounds easy enough. You know, hold thoughts and push out bad thoughts. But it's all we do, and we would have difficulties. So the issue is the subtlety of the serpent thought, how it disguises itself as your own thinking and reasoning, and seems to be supported by our five physical senses. We've taken in false beliefs over time, and oftentimes we don't even know those false beliefs exist in our consciousness, but they are there and are the foundation of all our unhappiness, depression, sin, and sickness. They are the root of all evil. So what do we do about this? Go back to that concept of baptism. Baptism is not a one-time event that occurs on a certain date. Science and Health has a glossary in the back of it, and it defines baptism as purification by spirit, emergence in spirit. And then she provides a quote from the Bible. We are, quote, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's 2 Corinthians verse 8. Elsewhere in Science and Health, it states, one's aim, a point beyond faith, should be to find the footsteps of truth, the way to health holiness. We should strive to reach the Horeb height where God is revealed, and the cornerstone of all spiritual building is purity. The baptism of spirit, washing the body of all the impurities of flesh, signifies that the pure in heart see God and are approaching the spiritual life and its demonstration. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for sinful belief to the kingdom of heaven, eternal harmony. Repentance, spiritual baptism, and morals, off material beliefs, and false individual beliefs. There's only a time when they shall come from the least of them to the greatest. Denial of the things of matter is a great step towards the joy of the spirit, towards human freedom, and a final triumph over the body. Those are interesting terms that she uses. Purification by spirit, repentance, regeneration. These are the key to progress. Our baptism is a daily process, and it requires us not only to watch our thoughts and what we admit into our consciousness, but there's a second part that's vital and equally important. We have to purify ourselves if we want to eradicate false beliefs in our thinking. Remember how we discussed how tares grow in the wheat field? Things same as the wheat, so it's kind of difficult to identify what's a wheat and what's a tare. In the Bible, the servants were instructed to not grow sides and to avoid pulling out the wheat by mistake. And at first, we don't recognize them, because we think they're our own. We even end up defending them. But as we begin to purify ourselves, more light floods into our consciousness, and the evil and false beliefs are exposed and have nowhere to hide. Their nature is more obvious and easier to be contrasted as a spiritual, living, holy thought pain. And identify it as a false belief working mesmerically in our the hard parts over, and it loses its authority. Just like learning 2 and 2 is 4 after you erroneously believe 2 and 2 is 5. False math doesn't just pops away, and it doesn't have an influence over you because you know it's false. When I first learned this, I wondered, how am I ever going to identify or uncover all the false hidden beliefs in my thinking? It sounded to me like I'd be searching for a needle in a haystack. But Mrs. Eddy wrote that the way to extract error from mortal mind is to pour in truth through flood tides of love. So as you think about love, when we act lovingly, when we choose love first, react in love, speak love, allow love to compel and act through us. That's what enlightens your thinking so much that whatever is false is simply outgrown and loses its power, fades away into the nothingness from which it came. I want you to imagine you have a glass of water in front of you and then a garden hose. The water is clean and clear. Then, over time, bits of dirt, mud, maybe bugs or other outgrowths get into the water. And each bit of dirt represents a false belief. The water ends up dark, muddy, and unsuitable for drinking. To clean it out, you don't take tweezers to pick out each piece of dirt from the water. You take the hose and start flooding that cup out, that garden hose that represents God, all the love that's been poured. And the water floods by the love. And soon, very soon, all the dark, muddy water is cleaned out, leaving only fresh and clean water again. So we don't need to worry about what we're in specifically and how we're going to remove it. We simply need to concentrate on bringing in so much good into our thoughts that the false and evil beliefs will be eradicated naturally and completely. Repentance is also part of our daily baptism. And I got to tell you, when I first heard repent, I envision some man of God with his finger in the air yelling, repent, with his fist waving in the air and staring at me like I was a bad girl. Well, repentance merely means to make a change for the better as a result of remorse or contrition for one's sins. And there's another word that I didn't like, sin. I was not brought up to believe that I was born a sinner, but that I am the good and perfect offspring, a good and perfect creator, God. I heard a discussion about the word that helped me discuss it in a healthier, non-threatening way. The word sin is an archery term, and it means to miss the mark. Well, that made perfect sense to me. Jesus set the example for us to follow. He showed us what perfection looked like and how it behaved, as well as the power that comes along with it when we incorporate it in our own lives.
Go ahead, Corrine. Take it back.
Okay. It doesn't mean that we are bad or that we aren't striving to be more like Jesus. It means we didn't get it on the first attempt or even maybe the 100th attempt. But we repent when we try to do better, to even want to do better, or strive to go up higher by changing what we've done in the past. That's repentance. We turn away from our former way of doing things because we've simply learned better or wish to do better. Clearly, this is obtainable, especially because a lot of it is naturally done when we learn more about God and our relationship to Him. For example, we're learning that God is not a judgmental person sitting up on a throne somewhere, but that God is love itself, and that love only sends forth what it is, more love. And that's as the offspring of love, made in the image and likeness of love, and that love is who we are, then love is what we do. When we learn and consider this, old beliefs and thoughts, such as self-condemnation or hateful thoughts towards others, begin to feel foreign and unnatural. When we judge or condemn after we've learned that in reality, we are the embodiment of love and all of its included qualities, such as tenderness, forgiveness, kindness, patience, gentleness, and so on, it feels like a rock in our shoe. We recognize that the judgment or harsh thoughts aren't who we are, not really our own thinking. And then we have our aha moment of, this is serpent thought trying to trick and deceive me. And you let it go. And you're much quicker to recognize it the next time it tries to enter in the scene. Eventually, it no longer operates at all, and your nature is transformed. You've simply aligned yourself with what your true identity is, with the Christ. It's such a beautiful transformation, like the caterpillar into the butterfly. You and I are always undergoing this transformation, and each one of us is at different stages in the process. This transformation or purification by spirit has definite stages, and it's helpful to study the characteristics of those stages. In science and health, we're given the scientific translation of mortal mind. The first degree is called depravity, and it's based upon the mortal or outward sense of things. It is marked by evil beliefs, passions and appetites, fear, depraved will, self-justification, pride, envy, deceit, hatred, revenge, sin, sickness, disease, and death. It is essentially living completely mesmerized by false beliefs and is the sum total of unreality. It's like living in the dark without any light of truth at all. The next degree is called evil beliefs disappearing, and it's recognized by humanity, honesty, affection, compassion, hope, faith, meekness, and temperance. These are traditional qualities as we move up and away from the false and unreal to the true and real. And the final and third degree is understanding. And this level is recognized in wisdom, purity, spiritual understanding, spiritual power, love, health, and holiness, or beautiful butterfly. We all have and demonstrate qualities from each of these degrees. As long as we desire to walk with God and to purify our thoughts, to be baptized daily, we will assuredly find ourselves ascending the scale in the right direction. And it's a joy-filled journey on this path upwards. You're blessed by your progress. The burdens fall away as truth dawns in your consciousness about who you are and who you are not. And I can't think of anything more worthwhile and more rewarding to do. As we ourselves learn and progress, we in turn can help others. And I personally find that helping someone else break free of mental chains and claim their true heritage as the child of God is the greatest and most rewarding feeling I've ever experienced. I'm going to share with you now what I've found to be the fastest way to both progress, to gain understanding, and also experience spiritual power and influence in my life. And it's so simple. It is to simply love. And by this, I mean to intentionally and mentally see each and every person you encounter as the beloved child of God. I don't care where they're from, what they look like, what they're doing. None of that matters. God created them. Anything about them that is not good or loving isn't real. God loves them, and we can love them too. And each and every person is the child of God. It's there. It is there in every single person there is. I was at a camp as a young girl, and we had an elective class to choose, and I took this rock polishing class. And we cut the rocks in half, and they had these polishing things. And I sat there, and put it on the camera, and suddenly, up to the longer polish standards. Callousness and the false beliefs we've either been taught or picked up along the way, our exteriors are fearful, hardened, protective coatings that hide the beauty that lies within. It won't be this way that person's exterior, or he or she or does. That's just the creation and outcome of false beliefs and fears they've picked up along the way. But instead, greet each person with genuine affection and love. Look into their eyes. Smile. Silently acknowledge them as a fellow brother and sister of God. I'm serious. Let me share some experiences I've had when I did this. I was practicing this, and a woman at a Kohl's store held the door open for the longest time and said, "Have a good day, honey," with such warmth. I never met her before. I didn't know who she was. It was just the two of us there, so it's not like she was talking to somebody else. Then I drove over to the supermarket, and this man stood there and did a full bow in the parking lot and swept his arm across the parking space and bore me and turned in the stock and walked away. I didn't know that man. I just started laughing at myself. That week, I met Corey. My daily job as a lawyer. And as the deputy in the courtroom, he asked me if I was comfortable and offered me a cup of coffee. So if any of you have ever been in the courtroom, you're familiar with all those.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlor Limited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
You know, Corrine, there is no serpent on this earth that wants you to finish this show. So go ahead, take it away. You've got another 34 minutes if you want it. So go ahead and take it. Are you there? Okay, we'll do some more commercials. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the Advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace. Destiny, coincidence, you decide.
Hello?
You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station. Via sponsorship, monetary gift, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Like I was saying, my dear friend, there is no serpent on this earth that wants you to finish this show. So we have 32 minutes. Go ahead and continue on as if no technical difficulties are happening to you right now. Go ahead. I love it.
Okay.
Go.
Thank you, listeners. I am now on my husband's phone. I just want all of us to take one moment and to acknowledge that there is just one God, one power, one infinite mind, and that no power exists apart from this all power, that there is nothing that could ever impede, stop, thwart, or mute the message of God. Now, returning back to where I was just telling you about the effects that happen and follow when you become all love. The beautiful transformation in your daily experience when you focus on seeing all those around you as just the image and an embodiment of love. I mean, it is so powerful and so strong, and you will see the effects instantly wherever you go. And I think I left off where small children who become lost and separated will come up and ask me for help. I have literally lost track of how many times that's happened. I wish I could convey just the feeling to you because it feels magical. It's like everybody's your friend. Those who are intuitive, especially children, they'll sense it in you, and they seek you out. You feel this connection to everyone and everything. Seeing others as God sees them just melts away all of our walls, fears, and these defenses that we put up between ourselves and others. You get to kind of see the polished rock immediately. You don't have to work to get through a person's outer exterior. It's really the coolest experience ever, and it's just powerful beyond measure. Let's think about it. During Jesus' Last Supper, he gave his final lesson to his disciples. So you would think that that would be a pretty powerful sermon that he gave, right? At John 13, we read, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Well, there it is, the most powerful and most transformative of all his teachings, to simply love one another. Think about this. If we loved each other, we wouldn't need any other law. Love is the fulfilling of all laws. We wouldn't need to have thou shalt not kill or steal or commit adultery, because love wouldn't think of doing those things. When you walk in love, you are obedient to all the commandments. It's so simple. And during one of Mary Baker Eddy's classes, a student asked her how she was able to accomplish instantaneous healing. Her reply was, I will tell you the way to do it. It is to love. Just live love. Be it love, love, love. Do not know anything but love. Be all love. There is nothing else. That will do the work. It will heal everything. It will raise the dead. Be nothing but love. She also instructed, whatever holds human thought in line with unself-love receives directly the divine power. If Jesus told us to love one another before he was crucified, and Mrs. Eddy, who healed hundreds of thousands, said she did it by refusing to see or acknowledge anything but love, we ought to listen, don't you think? Love is the answer. Love is the way for purification of self, of transformation and healing. And you don't need a degree or a special location or certain possessions to practice it. It's universal and it's free. And you can start right now. You're going to see the effects in your life almost immediately. The world begins reflecting the light and love in you right back to you. People go out of their way for you. Love shines back to you. Life is better and more beautiful. And isn't that what we all want? Let love be your guide. Practice seeing love all around you. Acknowledge the love in everyone that you come into contact with. It's there. It's not a personal sense of love, but divine love. An impartial, totally accepting, all-inclusive love. See the love God has for you in the nature around you, in the smiles of complete strangers, in laughter you hear. This will transform you anew into the beautiful butterfly God already knows you to be. Have a beautiful week, everybody. Until next Friday.
Yeah. I hear some say nothing is sweeter than love's first kiss, or getting high till you reach the sky on a cloud of bliss. But as I reflect upon my life and I reminisce, I can't dismiss that I get a thrill from love and service. That is why I'm gonna learn to love, and I'm gonna love serve, 'cause as I serve my brothers and sisters, I am serving the Father. Yes, I'm gonna learn. To love, and I'm gonna love to serve.
tell me now, can you help them? And it no matter about their color or their creed, just try to identify their need. The more you give is the more you receive, so let's start giving.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support.
I was a dead man, out in the cold. Life was a pit and I was deep in a hole, just about to give up. Then lo and behold, a voice from within said, save your soul. Yo, brothers and sisters all around the globe, I got a story, word. Gotta be told to my family, friends, fans, even my foes. It's like this, y'all, this is how it goes. I was out in the world without a name or a goal, huh? Out of school and out of control. Set in my ways, yeah, stuck in the mold. And going the wrong way down a one-way road. Young and bold, I didn't wanna be told. I used to steal and brag about the stuff I stole. Then one bright day, my mind got blown when a voice from within said, save your soul. No, I didn't want to be told. Things were looking up and I was on the roll. I was a rude boy and a Romeo, and anywhere I went I started the show. I had money, woman, plenty of gold and an overinflated EGO. I I was a dead man, but I didn't know until a voice from within said, save your soul. My life was like a movie, and I was playing the role of a black youth living in the ghetto. Where the action was, that's where I'd go. Right or wrong, I'll be going with the flow. But what you reap is what you sow. It's like karma, the bad you do will follow. You were round, and I was going down. Right down, with my face in the ground. Two hands bound to a siren sound. None of my so-called friends anywhere to be found. As I thought to myself, in life you're alone. A voice from within said, anyone home? Yes, Lord, well here I be. If I ain't ready yet, I will never be. I'm sorry for the things that I did before. Believe me, Lord, I won't do them no more. I'll be an arrow if you will be my bow. And anywhere I'm sent, I'll gladly go. I'll be a witness all around the world to every man, every woman, every boy and girl. Cause I was born in the ghetto with a strong survive and with a will to strive. I began to rise from 79, or was it 75? When reggae music began to open my eyes about the truth, the right, Jah the Most High, and how to achieve that little pie in the sky. Inspirated, yeah, I was totally motivated. To the point where I decided to chat the mic. But my direction was not to only those of my complexion, but the brown, yellow, red, and the white man. Critics criticize, cynics cynicize, any entertainer with a message they victimize. But in this world I've sinned, it's no surprise. So with the media, I sympathize. I hear the rich man's laughter, hear the poor man's cries. Hypocrites sabotage their lives with their eyes. Everyone's born, most of us die, but only God's children get the prize. Don't be a fool, be cool, come on and get wise. Yeah, wise up, no compromise. And listen to the voice that resides within your mind. Cause God has sent a guide to all mankind. Choice is yours, life above or death below. It's up to you to save your soul.
Soul Sister Radio.